Thank you, Miss Christie. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms 107. Brother Bruner, thank you. We pray that God will hasten your deputation and you will be able to get to the field quickly. I notice that y'all are out of Brother Stark's church. Amen. Brother Stark's a good man. Brother Stark's daughter is Bobby Buchanan Jr.'s wife. And a good church, a good man. Let's see, something else, a connection. Brother and Mrs. Bob Baraka. First time I met them was there at Calvary Baptist Church in Dubuque, Iowa. Years ago. The Amazon Basin. I don't know how many rivers run into that Amazon River. I know the Rio Negro River does. It's a black water river. The water looks black. That's where it gets its name. Then there is a river that comes out of the mountains that's whiter. The water's whiter or creamy, milky color. And both of those mix with the Amazon. The Amazon is more than 200 miles wide at its mouth. You can stand on one side of the Amazon at its mouth and you can't see the other side. 200 miles. The force of the water coming down the Amazon pushes fresh water out into the Atlantic Ocean for 150 miles. If you were in a ship and you were 100 miles offshore in the mouth of the Amazon, out in the Atlantic Ocean, you could reach down and dip fresh water out of the ocean. Powerful river. People all over that river. We have friends related to the Horton family. Bill Horton, Brother Ken's brother in Baleen. He and his family serve there. Then the Hawkins family serve in Manaus. Brother Bill Smith serves somewhere in that basin on a little old town. It takes hours and hours and hours and hours to get to by riverboat and whatever else. But boy, there's so many people, such a need, such a vast area. And I'm glad God still remembers the needs of people in the jungle as well as the big cities. If you found your place in Psalm 107, stand and we'll read two verses for our message tonight. Verse 21 and 22. The psalmist, speaking by divine inspiration, says, "All that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 22, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." And I noticed that in the Old Testament they offered lambs and goats and bullocks and turtle doves. And thank God Jesus is our sacrifice, but He tells every Christian there's two sacrifices He expects us to give to Him. Number one, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Then the psalmist said He expects the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now I want to talk to you for just a few moments about that statement, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, and declare His works with rejoicing. Father, help me tonight in these few minutes that we have to worship You and just have our minds brought back to the fact that You're a good God. And Your blessings go beyond anything we can think or imagine. The fact is, as we stand here tonight, we cannot, it is impossible for us to go back and count every blessing that's been ours this year because of You. We thank you for being so good to us. And those things that we know that came from you, help us not to be foolish and go about our life without giving you thanks and praise for it. Now, Lord, we're about to come into a holiday in America known as Thanksgiving. Help us, Lord, that it might be more than just a holiday, but it might be a practice of our life and a practice of our heart. Help us to be a grateful people, a thankful people. Lord, it's so easy for us to get caught up in me and mine, what I want and what I'm doing, and forget about the good God of heaven that has provided so many wonderful things for us. Blessings beyond our ability to recount clearly each and every one. But help us to do the best we can to give you thanks and to have a grateful heart for those things where you have blessed and we cannot pinpoint exactly how. But we know that you've been God in charge of our lives. Now help me as I speak in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thanksgiving Day is an important day on the American calendar. It's connected with much important history about our great country and our freedom and liberty here in America. Thanksgiving Day recognizes the basic rights of freedom to worship by all men. America does not have a state church. We don't have one man telling another man, you've got to worship this way. We do not have a state telling us or a government telling us that we must worship in this church. And you can thank that to Bible believe, thank God for that, because that's one of the blessings we have, because Baptists have been active in our American government. It was Baptists that pitched such a fit when they were going to recognize two churches, one of them Baptist, as a state church. And all others were going to be excluded. But Baptists said, absolutely not. We believe in the freedom of worship and the freedom of choice. And Baptists, because of their stand, has made it possible for people to worship God according to the dictates of their heart. Thanksgiving Day is built on the foundation of faith and liberty, and the fact that there is a God in heaven who deserves the worship and the praise of man. When we look to the Word of God, we find out quickly that Thanksgiving is not a special holiday, but rather it's a condition of the heart and the attitude of the mind. Few things are more rude and appalling than for a person who is unthankful and ungrateful to God and to others. I can hear my mama and daddy say over and over again to me as a boy, son, you better remember what we've taught you. You say thank you. You be grateful. You be kind. And oh my, we need to remember the words of mama and daddy now that we're older. All of us. All of us. We need to remember to give thanks to God. And we need to remember to give thanks to others that God has used to be a blessing in our life. It's a attitude of the heart and a condition of the heart. If our heart's not right, we're not going to be thankful. When our heart's not right with God, we develop that selfishness, that greed, that just what I want is all that matters. Thanksgiving to God by His children is high on the list of God of the things most important to Him. I think the most important attribute of God is His holiness. But I think also important to God is that His children learn to be thankful to Him, to recognize that He is God and He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Now, in our scripture for this Tuesday night before Thanksgiving, God asked three things of His children. Let's look at these two verses. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. First thing I notice that He asked us to praise Him for His goodness. For His goodness. Do you ever stop to think that our God is a good God? He is a God of loving kindness. He's a God of grace and mercy. He's a God who wants to bless us instead of curse us. He's a God who wants to save us instead of damn us. Thank God for His goodness. Now, you and I know some good people. But the truth is, the Bible says that of ourselves there's none good, no, not one. Any good thing about a man is something we've gotten from God. It's some characteristic of God that has been taught to us, and we've been trained in that area and that way of life. He wants us to praise Him for His goodness. He wants us to praise Him for His goodness to us. To us. Now, I get excited about the fact that our God is a good God. He's not some mean, old, hateful God up in heaven looking for someone to zap. Aren't you glad you're not God and I'm not God? I'd be frying some of you. But He's a good God. Even when we're not. He's a good God, a forgiving God, a loving God, a caring God who wants nothing but the best for us. For God to judge a man, that man has to live his life without God and ignore God throughout his life. God wants to forgive us, send His Son to die for us. Calls out preachers to preach about Him. Calls out missionaries to go to tell people about Him. Ask us to work, to give, to send them, and work to tell the people here. God wants people to know about Him. He is a good God. Now, God doesn't want to, He's not asking us to go just brag on Him for bragging's sake. God wants us to go tell people so they can be saved. God gets no glory out of a sinner burning in hell. God gets glory when sinners hear the gospel and get saved and can worship Him and fellowship with Him. And we're to praise Him for His goodness. He wants us to come to that place where we can count our blessings. Like the psalm says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Let me suggest one day you take a pencil and piece of paper and just start jotting down some things you can recall that God has done for you. Well, I don't know that I can count anything. I don't know. You're alive, aren't you? You don't have the swine flu, do you? You're not in the graveyard, are you? You're not handicapped. Well, I've got to change that. Some. You've got a job. Do you know there's millions of people who don't even have a job? You've got a job. You know, if God just think about it, He could eradicate your job. God wouldn't even have to put in effort. All He'd have to do is think it. No job. You got good health? Well, that's my doing. I run. I eat right. There's a lot of people run and have heart attacks and die. A lot of people eat right and don't even get the benefit of getting fat and they die anyway. Thank God for His goodness. He'd like for us to jot them down, name them. He'd like for us to remember that God's blessings are not all measured in dollars and cents. We are so conditioned to think that if we can't pull out some bills and count money, we hadn't been blessed. The greatest blessings we'll ever know will not be measured in dollars and cents. It'll not be measured by a paycheck. You'll not find it wadded up on the side of a street, the greatest blessings of your life, even if you found $1 million. You know, $1 million couldn't buy some of the things God blesses us with. God's blessings cannot be limited only to the material things. God's blessings may be what He has protected or delivered you from, and you don't even know about it. You know, when I was growing up, polio was the thing. When I was in high school, several kids in our school got polio. Terrible. One day they're strong. Next day they're in a hospital and in what they called an iron lung then that was making it possible for them to breathe. Without the iron lung, they couldn't breathe. Oh my, I'm sorry. I just thought of a joke. You hear about the little boy that built a little go-kart racer and he entered into the go-kart races and he just blew everybody away. Went all the way to the nationals, and in the national championship, he just outran everybody. Nobody stood a chance. And everybody wanted to look at his little go-kart and had that little chrome engine on the back of it. And they said, "Son, where did you get that engine?" He said, "Off my daddy's iron lung." He said, "Well, what did your daddy say about it?" "Say about it." He said, "Oh, nothing but..." I'm sorry. That was awful, wasn't it? I'm thankful I didn't have polio. I remember somebody stole a motor off my iron lung. I remember we'd go around all the neighbors and collect dimes to fight polio. The march of dimes. I'd fill out my card. I'd get a couple of them. And boy, in my area, houses were not just one after the other. That's a quarter of a mile apart. And I'd walk, or I'd get old Daisy, the old horse, and I'd jump on her back, and we'd go down the road, and we'd make the round filling up. And when they discovered a vaccine for polio, I was out of school at the time. In fact, I was married at the time. I still felt like I helped find the cure for it. Man, I did my part. But that was a terrible disease that affected mostly children. And, you know, we could have been infected by that and affected by it. Just think of the people around. I saw a little boy with spinal bifida. And I thought, you know, my children are healthy. We take for granted so many things. And the one who's responsible for every good and perfect gift in our life is our Lord God, and do we give Him thanks? Do we remember to thank Him? It's easy to count those things which we see that are physical, that we feel, but count also those things that are spiritual as well. God delivers, and God desires that we remember who is the giver of our blessings. Look at verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works in the children of men. You better not just limit it to physical things, but thank God for the spiritual work God's done in our lives the changes He's made. Wonder where I would have been today without Jesus Christ. Wonder what my life would be like today without Jesus Christ. I wonder what my children would be like today without Jesus Christ. I wonder what my marriage would be like without Jesus Christ. Oh, that men would praise Him for His goodness and for His wonderful works in the children of men. Secondly, He would have us actually go through the act of thanking Him. Now, He don't want us just to think about it. He don't want us just to think in our mind the goodness of God and what He's done for us. He would literally like for us to go through the process of thanking Him. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Just as the Old Testament saints offered their lambs and bullocks and goats and turtle doves as sacrifices, He asked us to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We don't have to go buy the lamb without spot or blemish. We don't have to buy the bullock or the goat or the turtle dove. We just have to humble ourselves. Bow ourselves before God and thank Him for His goodness to us. The sacrifices of the Old Testament were important and necessary for the right spiritual relationship between those then and God. So the offering of the sacrifices of thanksgiving is necessary for us to maintain our proper relationship with God. You're not going to be a Christian right with God if you're not a thankful Christian. And if you don't count your blessings and give Him thanks and praise for them. You see, thanksgiving is important in the Christian's life because it conquers pride. A thankful person doesn't run around flexing his muscles telling everybody what he's done. Thanksgiving recognizes the one who is the real giver of every blessing. It conquers pride. Thanksgiving humbles the flesh. When we get down on our face before God and give Him thanks, we're acknowledging the fact that we did not do it. God has provided. God has blessed. It humbles the flesh. Thanksgiving strengthens the spiritual man. You don't have much of a walk with God if you don't have a life of thanksgiving, where you spend time thanking Him and praising Him. Well, I did that once. God help your miserable, shriveled up soul. Every day, just as His mercies are fresh every day, our thanksgiving ought to be fresh every day to Him as we praise Him and remember His goodness. It strengthens the spiritual man. Thanksgiving acknowledges that God is the true giver of our blessings. Acknowledges that God, boy, we're talking about this world being secular and carnal and worldly and communistic. Well, what are we when we don't thank God for His blessings? Because thanksgiving acknowledges there is a God in heaven who rules over the affairs of men. Thanksgiving shows our dependence upon God. And there's the rub. Some of you don't want to be dependent on anybody. You want to do it yourself. I got news for you. There's some things you can't do for yourself. There's some things you need in this life and you need for eternity. You cannot provide for yourself. But thank God there is a God in heaven who can. And thanksgiving shows our dependence upon God. Thanksgiving declares our gratitude to God. Oh, that we might be a grateful people. Over and over and over again, God tells us to praise Him, to give Him thanks. In the New Testament, we're told to pray about everything with thanksgiving. It's not a sideline, it's a part of our life. And yet you can't pull Baptists to a prayer meeting today. We'd rather sit out here and gossip than acknowledge there's a God in heaven. It declares our gratitude to God. Well, I don't have anything to thank Him about. Are you saved? You're not going to hell if you're saved. You're going to heaven if you're saved. You've got an opportunity to have a life worth living here and a future to look forward to in eternity. You don't have anything to give Him thanks for. God, help us. Thanksgiving reminds us that God's our source of supply, not Obama, not government, but God. Not our job, but God. Brother Bruner, not the churches, but God. God will use the churches because He wants to bless them. But God is our source of supply. And the amazing thing, supply will come from sources, from churches you can't imagine. Thanksgiving shows a yielded heart and a yielded life to God. Thirdly and lastly, God would have us to declare publicly His works with rejoicing. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Now, that word declare means that usually somebody's around. Somebody needs to hear what God's done for you. And I don't know many people that run around shouting and rejoicing when nobody's around. Rejoicing takes on a new dimension when there's somebody there to rejoice with you. I thank God for what He does for me, for His provision. And I can rejoice in that, but it takes on a new dimension when I tell my wife and we can rejoice together. It takes on a new dimension when we can tell our church and we can rejoice together. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to declare publicly His works in our life with rejoicing. Old Brother Ward came and sat down in my office and said, "Brother Smith, let me tell you what God's been doing for me." And he shared with the retirement package and the time he gets to go to Croatia and be supported completely. And he was rejoicing and I was rejoicing with him. We told you so you could rejoice. Just makes it sweeter that way. If we don't learn to declare what He's done for us and rejoice together, we'll become an old bunch of dried up sourpuss Christians. Who else can give thanks unto the Lord except those who know Him and have experienced His wonderful grace and mercy? We're to declare His redemptive work on Calvary to the unsaved world. We're to declare His goodness to us for the sake of those who need Him now. One of the reasons for declaring His goodness is because there's a world that's going to hell that need my Savior. They've been acquainted with gods that require them to offer their life in death as a sacrifice, or their children's life. I'm glad to tell them there is a God that gave His life to save us. I'm glad I can tell them of a good God who wants to bless us and help us and strengthen us, comfort us. God that wants His children to rejoice instead of weep all the time. Thanksgiving with rejoicing honors God. Thanksgiving with rejoicing defeats the devil. Thanksgiving with rejoicing encourages needy people. Thanksgiving with rejoicing increases the faith in those who are weak. Let me read it to you again and I'll be through. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Nobody can do that but God's children. God's asking us to do it. Our country has made a day set aside for us to count our blessings and give thanks to him. Let's make sure we use this time to do so. And let's learn to not limit it to a holiday in November. But let's learn to make it a part of our life. And learn to tell the glorious blessings of God in our life and rejoice instead of being complainers. Now we're going to have bad things happen. Good people have bad things happen to them. We're going to have negative things. We're going to get hurt. Let's tell God about them privately. Amen. And rejoice about the goodness of God and the blessings of God publicly. Amen. Let's don't be complainers and gripers and bellyachers. Let's don't feel sorry for ourselves and have a pity party. Let us count our blessings and rejoice together in the goodness of God to us. May God help us to use this Thanksgiving time to do that very thing. Let's use this time now as an altar call. Piano's going to play in a moment. While we're getting ready to do that, let's use this time just to remember. You say, well, preacher, I don't have that list. Well, don't you?